The Redeemed Life Radio broadcast is a ministry of Redeemed Church, now meeting at Groove Nation Performing Arts Center, 3000 Columbia House Boulevard in Vancouver, Washington. Come experience Redeemed Church live this Sunday at 10:30.
Give thanks to God, for He is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Those He redeemed from the hand of the foe. Those He has gathered from every land. We testify to the work of His hand.
Hi, I'm Steve Livengood. My wife Shelley and I welcome you to the Redeemed Life Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Redeemed Church in Vancouver, Washington. The purpose of this radio broadcast is to bless you and build you up in your faith in Jesus. Now let's get right into this week's message. So our foundation text for the entire year is 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. And really, all that whole, you know, 1 John, the entire thing is just a great place to just plant our feet for the year. But how great is the love the Father has lavished on us? See, the world has this view of God, and, you know, I'd say even Christians, a lot of Christians have this view of God. And I've heard even famous people as recently as after the Super Bowl refer to God as the man upstairs. I'd like to thank the man upstairs. Well, you know, he's Jesus, right? He's Dad, you know? And even good Christian people still feel this sense of distance between God and you. Well, it's not his fault if there is, first of all, right? He did everything he could possibly do to bridge that gap, didn't he? And somebody to say, he loves me, right? He's not angry at me. He's not irritated at me. You know, I try at home, Lacey's here today, so she can laugh at this if she wants to. But I try at home to not get irritated at my kids. Now, sometimes my kids have to be corrected. Right? But it's one thing to correct your kids. It's another thing to be irritated at your kids. What that shows them, if I get irritated, is I'm out of patience. Or I know I should have corrected this 5 days ago, but I've let it go and go and go and go and go, and now I'm irritated at you, right? God is not irritated at me or you, is he? Right? This scripture right here, that's important not just to say stuff, but have scriptures to back it up. Well, here's one. How great is the love the Father has lavished, my Father, your Father, has lavished on us. So he's not lavishing judgment on me. He's not lavishing, you know, his irritations on me. He's not putting up with me. Right? He loves me. Somebody say he loves me. And this is the question of the year. If we have a statement of the year and a scripture of the year, the question of the year to ponder and chew on and ask yourself and ask the Lord, Father God, how great is your love for me today? That's a great thing to just, you know, from time to time. Father, how great is your love today? And I found myself asking that toward the end of the week. I was going through some challenges or whatever of the workday. And the Spirit of God just brought, I think I was leaving for work that morning. And the Spirit of God brought it up to me. Ask me about how much I love you today. So I did. Oh, Father, how great is your love today for me? You know, and that just gives you something to be pondering throughout the day and thinking about and so forth. Does he love me enough to handle every challenge I'm going to face today? If I lay it at his feet. Now, he'll let me go ahead and handle it myself. You know, well, Lord, I'm trained to do this. I'm educated to do this. I've got years of experience doing this. Won't need your help with this. Well, that's not how we want to handle our relationship with God, right? He can help me with every detail of my life. Well, how could he help me with my marriage? He's never been married. Right? Yes, he can. He invented it, didn't he? He can help me be a better husband. He can help me be a better dad. He can help me be a better employee, a better pastor, whatever. But it's all rooted and grounded in this. He loves me. And I was reading this morning in my daily Bible reading. You've heard the story Jesus tell about the parable of the farmer, and he's scattering the seed. And he says, some seed, and the seed is the word of God. This is the analogy there. God is the farmer, and he's scattering the word, you know. And he talks about it in the sense of a farmer, and it's some of the seed fell on the rocky ground, and some fell on the pathway, and the birds came and ate it, and some fell among thorns and got choked, right? Well, the word of God says that faith has to be rooted and grounded in what? In love. So the problem isn't my faith. The problem is, if I'm not seeing results in some part of my life, I would say this. I need to look at my revelation of the love of God. Because if I want to be the ground that the Word of God can grow and produce a harvest in any area of my life, it's only going to go as deep as my revelation of how much I'm loved. How did the birds, steal the seed off the path? Because that was a shallow believer, right? Had no comprehension. Maybe it was religion. Maybe it was fear. Maybe it was whatever. Maybe there were other things they loved more, whatever. But the person that the seed really, it said what? Fell on good ground. How do I become good ground? Do I have a choice? Was I born that way? Well, I was born, on the stony ground. I was born among the weeds. A whole new way to say that in the state of Washington now, huh? Born among the weed. Well, no, we've been redeemed from the weed, haven't we? Amen. That's no good. Came out of the movie theater Friday night, and I could smell the weed. Walking down the street, it's like, thank you, Lord, for redeeming us from stuff like that, right? The reason they call it dope, right? Amen. We got a good God. So why do people turn to stuff like that and just, be shallow or allow things to choke the word out? Because they don't know how much they're loved. Period. Amen. So we can be developing in our capacity to receive from God in this. That's, I believe, why he's got us doing this year. We're talking about the church and our growing as a body in the Lord and so forth. And I believe one of the words he gave me for this year is he's pouring the foundation for our church. The foundation is this. God loves me. Why does God want to prosper me? So there's some folks that will believe, yeah, Jesus loves me enough to get me into heaven. But after that, how dare I believe him for anything else? I mean, look at what he did. How dare I ask him to prosper me or to heal my body? Look what he did. Exactly. Look what he did. Amen. There's another scripture that says, how will God not? He gave us his son. How will he not also give us all things? Right? Why does he want to bless me? Answer is, because he loves me. Amen. Yeah. Why does he want me to be healthy and to be healed? Because he loves me, right? So this is what we're really honing in on this year and every day. So how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God? And we know there's a scripture that says God is love. Not that God has love or God is loving. God is love. Amen? And we're talking about godly love here. We're not talking about the perversions that the world presents as love and that we hear broadcasted every day, right? If you're really a Christian, you ought to just embrace everything. Well, no, that's not true. That's not love. Is it possible to love somebody who is in a lifestyle that we consider non-biblical and yet not accept that lifestyle? Of course. Yeah. Yes, it is. Amen. Right? You love the person. God loves the sinner. He hates the sin. Right? Isn't that God? Right? Jesus died while we were yet sinners. Jesus died to save the ungodly. That's what he came for. Jesus didn't come to preach this gospel of all-inclusive, just embrace everything. He came preaching, repent, didn't he? For the kingdom of heaven is here. Amen? So this love of God is putting Jesus first and just receiving the love that he has for me. And it sounds so simple, but he has really been on me for a number of years now that this has to continue to grow deeper and grow deeper and grow deeper, because this is the core of who we are in him. Amen? This is what other people are desiring. Shelley talked about the studies that have been shown about children that are raised without love and so forth. People are grown-up children. When they come into the building and they might be drawn to something and they don't know what it is, it's the love of God. It's not the cake. It's not the music. It's not the shirt I wore. It's not this, the location is 5 minutes from home, right? It's the love. And they may not even know what it is, but they walk in and they just feel, man, there's something that's just drawing me to this place. Well, they're being drawn to Jesus. Amen? We're the children of God. That's who we are. And everywhere you see the name God in the Bible, I would challenge you this year, when you're doing your daily Bible reading or whenever you get to it as the Lord leads you, when you see the name God or Jesus or the Lord, replace it with the word love and see how it reads. For love so loved the world. The love is my shepherd. Right? These types of verses, it takes on a whole new, it just broadens and deepens our, you know, reality and revelation of who God is. And we're specifically talking about this year the greatness of the love of God. The greatness of the love of God, the size of the love, how large it is, the degree, the power, the intensity of the love, how wonderful it is. The love of God is, these definitions here with the word great, exceptionally outstanding, important, highly significant. It's impossible to be a Christian and not be loving. Amen? Impossible. Because our God is love. So it's impossible to be a mean, angry Christian. Loving people. That's who Christians are. Synonyms to great are words like immense, the immensity of God's love, how enormous it is. It's gigantic, it's vast, imposing, right? God is great. Love is great. And the word lavish means expended, to use up, occurring in profusion, abundance, extravagance. We do not have a stingy God who's stingy with his stuff. When we get to heaven, we'll see it firsthand. The streets are paved with gold, gates of pearls, right? We see it in the Old Testament when they're taught. I've been reading through Leviticus and Exodus the past couple months and talking about the construction of the temple. He's talking gold and silver, extravagant, right? We have an extravagant God with extravagant love. Well, yeah, but God, the Bible says he'll meet my needs. Well, we got to look at that differently. I know that my children's grandparents, they're 3/4 of them are here right now. And telling them, especially when the kids were just, even now, but especially when, like, Lacey was the only one, she was the first grandchild born, it was, well, she doesn't need that. Well, what's that got to do with anything? Right? Rooms full of stuff. There's a testimony right there. So, just extravagant, right? And when you have kids, or I'm told with grandkids, it's like, and I've heard other people share these kind of stories of, they're at a toy store, what do you want? I'll buy you everything. What do you want? You know, so this is the kind of love that your dad has for you. Amen? So it's not just about, well, I got my bread on my table and water and a job. How dare I ask for anything? No, believe God. Believe God. Believe the love. The blessing of God is there. Plus, it's going to take blessed people to reach more people with the love of God. Amen? It's going to take buildings and vehicles and ministries and people that can come in and serve and reach out, right? Amen. Praise God. I was at getting in our storage, we have the storage unit across the street here where our church equipment is stored. And this one guy was there. Usually there's nobody else there, but there was a guy there this morning. And inside his storage unit, he had an Audi. I mean, a nice red sports car in his storage unit. And he's in there. He's got his shelves and all his... It's like he's got a hose in there and stuff to baby it. Right? God has got so much stuff for you. Not just so much stuff, but so much stuff with your name on it. And I remember all the Christmas mornings at our house, not being able to sleep at night, and getting up at 3 or 3:30 and looking at all the packages. Okay, there's a Steve, look at how the size of that one, right? That's the God we have. A God who wants to bless you and bless you and bless you and just show his love again and show his love again. Amen? That's who he is. He's a God of open-handed, excessive love. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to look at Romans 5. Romans 5, 1 through 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace which we now stand. We boast in the hope of the glory of God. And I've heard some say it in this term, in terms of being bold about your faith. Well, you ought not brag about your faith. We're not bragging about our faith. We're bragging about our God. I heard somebody say that this week too. And if you have a private faith, then go have your private faith. I don't. I believe my God is so big, I'm going to tell somebody about him. I'm not bragging on me, I'm bragging on my God. So many would say, well, keep it to yourself. Well, no. I'm going to tell you how big my God is. And guess what? He'll be your God too, and he'll bless you too. Amen? Great big God, great big love. Through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, character hope, and hope does not put us to shame. Because God's love has been poured out. Somebody say poured out. Into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Now, the word suffering, right? Jesus obviously, for whatever it was, the 12 hours of his life there. And really compared to what he had before he came to earth, he was suffering his whole life. Dealing with those disciples, dealing with the crowds, dealing with the weather, dealing with not having what he had before he came to earth, right? Suffering. But here's something else I would present to us. How about this kind of suffering? How about you are so blessed that the world picks on you? Because you are so blessed, you are so well off, and you're a Christian, you ought not have that. That's the kind of suffering. Lay it on me, right? Amen? Well, how come you're so blessed? How come you got such a nice building? How come your group of whatever, how many is in here? 20 of us? How come you guys are meeting in a building that's $30,000 a month? What a waste. No, that's called lavished. That's called God blessing his people. Amen? And they could be blessed too if they just believe. Hallelujah. So when we talk about suffering, we're not talking about, well, yeah, see there, you ought to be poor. You ought to be, especially if you're in the ministry, you ought to be poor. Well, read the Bible. That's not true, right? The blessing of God, there's words that say the prophet is worthy of double honor, right? So the blessing of God remains. Amen. Why? Because he loves us. Because he loves us. And that's the thing we've got to remember. Like Shelley was talking about with the offering and so forth. It's because he loves us. Not because we're so good. Not because he feels sorry for us. There is a spirit of self-pity on the world right now, especially on some American-type people. Feel sorry for me. I don't want to get blessed because then I won't be able to feel sorry for me. I don't want to break through in this area of my life because I'll lose my assistance. Yikes. Right? I'll lose my life cereal, my cheese, and my milk if I dare break through. Get over it, right? You can be supplying that stuff to other people. Amen? So this whole, don't let that self-pity thing come in and sit on us, right? That's not of God. God isn't blessing me, in other words, because he feels so sorry for me. And if I have a big enough sob story, maybe God will do something. No. We are blessed because he loves us. Because he loves me. Somebody say he loves me. All right. 2 Chronicles 34:21. Go and inquire of the Lord for me and for the remnant of Israel and Judah about what is written in this book that has been found. Great is the Lord's anger that is poured out on us. See, so many people are living in that revelation right there. God is mad and he's going to pour out his wrath, right? Because those who have gone before us have not kept the word of the Lord, they have not acted in accordance with all that is written in this book. It's important in the word of God to be able to, there's a scripture talking about rightly dividing the word. And with the Old Testament, it's important to know the things that have continued on into the New Testament. How many know it's still good, even though Jesus is risen from the dead, it's still good to thou shalt not steal, right? Thou shalt not kill, right? It's still good to obey the Ten Commandments. Those things did not pass away, did they? But this whole judgment of God thing, look, there's so many that live there, and it keeps them out of church. Keeps them out of the plan of God for their life, because they figure, why come to God? He's already got a laundry list of reasons to not like me. That whole church thing is full of hypocrites or people that are goody-two-shoes. It's not me. Well, that is a lie. That's a lie from the devil, isn't it? Amen? Look at this in Psalm 22:14. Here's why it's a lie. Sometimes it's good to know why it's a lie. Right? Now, it doesn't mean that scripture was a lie, right? It just means that there's certain scriptures in the Word of God that Jesus fulfilled. Like God's wrath and God's anger, right? Look at Psalm 22:14. This is a prophetic word about Jesus here. It says this, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax, it is melted within me. This is one of many prophetic words or types of Christ before Jesus was ever even born that shows Jesus took on himself all the wrath and anger of God. Amen? All the wrath and anger and just the fire of God right there, there's where it poured out, right there on the cross. Amen? That's why you and I can come to God with confidence. Even if we blew it somewhere, we come to him and say, Lord, I confess. How many know it's good to just admit it to God? If you made a mistake, if you sinned or something, and you need to get forgiven of that thing, you don't come, you know, again with the pity party or with, browbeating yourself. Just admit it to Lord, I blew it. And guess what? He's not mad at you. He's ready to forgive you and ready to restore you and ready to reignite you. Amen? Because Jesus bore all of that anger, all of that wrath. We're talking about the love of God being poured out. And here's why the love of God can be poured out. It's because all the anger and judgment and everything that religion says God is was poured out on Jesus at that moment. Right there. Took it on himself. And he's told me this before. He said, you know, no matter how bad you feel about how you missed it yesterday, Steve, guess what? You didn't sin all of sin. And you could even think about the worst, most vile sinner you could ever imagine. Adolf Hitler. Adolf Hitler didn't sin any of my sins. Amen. He's innocent for what I did. He did some awful stuff. But Jesus, he took everything on himself. Everyone sins. In fact, there's a scripture that says he became sin. It's not that he took sin on himself. He became it in that moment. How did he do it? Didn't mean he ever sinned. He certainly never sinned, right? He did it by faith, didn't he? And it's the same way you and I receive his righteousness and say that now I'm the righteousness of God, not because I'm so righteous, but the same way he became sin, I become righteous.
Thank you so much for joining us for the Redeemed Life Radio broadcast. Check us out on the web at redeemed-church.org. You can hear many free full messages there and get info on service time and location. You can also correspond with us by mail at P.O. Box 1248, Washougal, Washington 98671. Until next week, this is Steve Livengood reminding you to keep looking up. Jesus is coming soon.